Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
With Ring cameras, you can protect your home from anywhere. You're at baggage claim, and you get a motion alert. Check live view and see a guy looking in your car window. Luckily, you've got floodlight cam. So you press the siren button and let 105 decibels do the rest. Problem solved. Home protected. Bag on its way. With Ring, you can protect your home from anywhere. Learn more at ring.com.
Hi, I'm Nancy Cartwright. You may know me better as the voice of Bart Simpson.
On Simpsons Declassified, we're diving into the mysteries that keep the Simpsons forever young. Have you ever wondered how the Simpsons regularly predicts future events? Who better to ask than the show's creators, performers, and writers? The celebrity guests. Be sure to follow and listen to Simpsons Declassified wherever you get your podcasts.
Like Frank Harris, that matches that Gabriel mold a little bit. But then a Bo Nix, who has some really nice physical attributes. He's a good athlete, has some really good things going for him, but hadn't really put it all together. I think, you know, and don't just take my word for it, Will Stein himself has said this is by far the most talented quarterback
right. That
he's ever gotten to play, gotten to coach and kind of, lead the reins of his offense. But I think when you look at what we're talking about just from a college perspective, he could dominate college football, Dante Moore, that is. I think he's going to be a fantastic NFL prospect, and I think his traits will translate to that level. But what we're seeing right now with Will Stein, it's about making your layups, right? It's about taking what the defense gives you. It's about getting the ball out on time. It's about taking your shot plays when you can. But when you have a guy like Dante Moore who can kind of open up the playbook a little bit more, and he's going through his progressions extremely well, I think I've been impressed with his decision-making more than his talent, because when I watched Dante Moore play, I mean, he was a five-star out of high school, played as a true freshman at UCLA. The talent was apparent, but the decision-making is where he's made right. The biggest jump, and I think we can attribute that to Will Stein, because now he's going through his reads. The first game they played against Montana State, they were up, big going in the half, and a lot of quarterbacks in that situation were trying to, hunt for the stats. They were in the red zone. It was third down. A lot of quarterbacks will force a ball there. It's kind of low stakes, right? You're up 28-0. You don't really have anything to lose if you throw an interception. And I saw him tuck the ball down and run and throw it away. And to me, that was like a big green flag for me that even in a situation like that, as low stakes as that was, he was cognizant of making the right play regardless. So I think you can attribute that to a guy like Will Stein in his development.
For sure. Well, Kai, it should be a fun weekend. I appreciate it and enjoy the ball.
Appreciate you, man. Thank you.
Yes, sir. He is Kyren Samuels, at Kyren Samuels on X, college football and NFL for Sports Illustrated, and national scout for Clutch Sports. It's such an interesting thing, though, isn't it? When you just look at that Oregon Dan Lanning staff and what Will Stein has done with quarterback after quarterback after quarterback, all different skill sets, mind you. Frank Harris used his legs really well. He still threw for 4,000 yards. Bo Nix came in, and it was a reclamation project. Let's be completely honest when he came over from Auburn. I think most Auburn fans said, this guy doesn't have it. He doesn't have the goods. Well, ends up being a 12th overall pick. And then you get Dylan Gabriel, who's 5'10", kind of can use his legs, doesn't have some rocket arm, decently accurate, though. And then you get Dante Moore, who I think – after that UCLA experience, and I've talked to David Cobb about this on multiple occasions. He was on Jeffrey Wright and Company, joins the show Monday, Wednesday, Friday. Like, he was kind of out on Dante Moore after watching him with Chip Kelly that one year because of the decision-making, because he wasn't quite, up to snuff with the five-star prospect that he was tabbed to be. So it's kind of interesting to see how that dynamic is playing out. Will Stein, he should have a job. A big job coming his way this offseason. That's all I'll say. He should be in the running for a lot of these gigs. And if he does get another job somewhere else, that's going to be hard to replace for Dan, no?
Probably one of the hardest things to do. Honestly, it is to not even just repurpose, but refill, restock your coordinators when they end up going to bigger gigs.
Yeah, no doubt. All right, now Jeff Calkins is scheduled to join to start up hour number two. We'll go ahead and get to that. Jeff Calkins is columnist of the Daily Memphian and also host of the Jeff Calkins Show, 9 to 11 right here. Every single weekday, 92.9 FM ESPN, conveniently located on the, what do you call it, the Everything app, George?
X the Everything app.
X the Everything app. At Jeff _ Calkins. Jeff, how's it going?
I'm good, Dave.
I have to ask you here off the top. Yeah. I know you opened your show on it, and I did as well. ESPN's NBA player rankings. Ja Morant at 33, Jaren Jackson Jr. at 31. What was your reaction to it? Because we have to react. We're in Sports Talk Radio.
And it's a ranking.
Yes. Yes.
You know,
we love rankings.
It's a ranking and it's a list. You know, I think it's about where I would have predicted they would have been. It feels like right now that the Grizzlies are pretty much an afterthought for people, right? Like, given the years that they have had, you know, wherever you think Ja or Jaren might be, they're sort of pushed down to the bottom of that range, right? If you look at that ranking, and this is a point Chris Harrington made, Donovan Mitchell's 15th, I think, right?
Yep.
And he's very clearly, like, he has accomplished things that Ja hasn't. It makes sense that he would be, you know, that he would be 15th. But then from there going, you know, down to 30, it's sort of, honestly, you know, six of one, half dozen of the other. But do you is it Tyrese Maxey or is it, right, Ja? Is it, James Harden or Ja? Is it, you know, like, there's you can absolutely imagine that after one good month of the season, you know, Ja will be considered a top in the teens in terms of what kind of player he is. And same thing with Jaren. Like, Jaren is behind, I don't have the list in front of me, he's behind Karl Anthony Towns, yep, obviously a tremendous offensive player, but would you really want him over Jaren? Really? Really? Was that what you, like, given his defensive clear deficiencies, he's behind Sengun, which is, you know, maybe, like, it just feels like to me, generally speaking, the Grizzlies are sort of an afterthought. And I think those rankings reflect that. You can absolutely imagine, it's hard to imagine Ja or Jaren being top 10 players in the league, but you can absolutely imagine them that if they have the years that you would hope they would have, you could imagine them being between either one of them or both between 10 and 20 in this same ranking next year, right? And so yeah, that was sort of my reaction. I'm not outraged by it. The truth of the matter is, it's hard to be outraged on behalf of the Grizzlies when they've had the years that they've had.
You know,
go prove it. Go accomplish things that will make people take you more seriously as a franchise and as individual players.
Yeah, and there's other strange rankings because I guess they put their heads together to try to figure out where they're going to put these guys. But Evan Mobley, and I know he got all the accolades in the world, won Defensive Player of the Year last year, but Evan Mobley ahead of Donovan Mitchell when Donovan Mitchell's clearly the head of the snake on that Cavs team.
Right.
Kind of strange to me. And I have to ask you about this. George and I talked about this at length off the top of the show. Victor Wembanyama, I get who he is. I would bet on him being the best player in the world here in, right, 5 years. But five right now. Thoughts?
Yeah, I don't think he's five right now. You know, I mean, the truth of the matter is, if you're going to hold Ja's health against him, and people do,
correct,
right? They do. Why can't? Don't you also have to actually hold Wembanyama's health against
Joel
him?
Joel Embiid, like, was 47 because of largely, right, health.
Health. So in the end, that's just purely based on what we think he might be, what we think he could be, what we think he should be, but it is not based on what he is. You're assuming health and you're assuming things about him. And so projecting him to be the fifth best player this year, he might be, right? But he certainly has not earned that spot. Honestly, the one that confused me more was Scottie Barnes ahead of Jaren.
Oh,
you know,
yeah,
like that,
right,
was like what
Ja too. That's wild.
And ahead of Ja, he was ahead of Jaren and Ja both. So that was one that I thought was perplexing.
And the Scottie Barnes thing is especially funny when you read the caption that's attached to his name because it says, Scottie Barnes took a tremendous step back last year, but his ranking last year was 35. This year it's 30. Doesn't seem like you feel that that strongly again, about his step back.
But it feels like, to a lesser extent than Wembanyama, that's based on what people hope and think he can be, right? Not based on what he actually is. And so now, you know, Ja has a longer track record of being injured than Wembanyama. And so I get that that people hold it against Ja where they don't necessarily yet hold it against Wemby. But yes, that's very clearly is a projection.
While we're here and talking about the rest of the National Basketball Association, I'll get to the Grizzlies here in a second. How do you feel about skinny Zion and skinny Luka debuting this year? I mean, obviously you can feel differently about each particular player.
Yeah, I'm more worried about skinny Luka than I am skinny Zion. I'll say that. It is interesting, though. Like, didn't we see skinny Zion 2 years ago? When was the last skinny Zion? We had this already. We did this, and so it makes it.
But what about skinny Zion? Give me skinnier Zion. This is the skinniest I think he's been, based on just my eyes.
Probably the skinniest he has been. I mean, this is a part of. It sure is rankings are a part of the season. Photos after off-season work is sort of become a part of the –
My Steven Adams three-point shooting video.
I do think that – I mean, if Zion is awesome and healthy someday, like, we just sort of assume the Pelicans are going to stink, and they have a weird roster, and they obviously made some of the most ridiculed moves in the NBA this off-season. But the truth of the matter is, like, when he's been healthy, he can be a dominant player. And so I don't actually rule out the possibility that they might have to be taken seriously this year. It's just not a roster that strikes me that makes much sense. And so I'm not particularly terrified of skinny Zion. Skinny Luka, you know, that just contributes to the tragedy that was that trade. You know, who needed the Lakers to get Luka, and now who needed the Lakers to have an inspired, motivated, slimmer, buff Luka? That's not something that the other teams in the Western Conference needed.
The face of men's health. I need to get on the Luka Doncic diet. I don't know
the
what
face
that...
of men's health. Yeah.
All right. Now for the Grizzlies, we've talked about it. I think the full year is defined by. How much is Ja Morant going to be on the floor, right? Like, I think we have pretty well established that. But as they come out of the gates to start the regular season, how important is sort of the understanding of Tomas Isolo and his system going to be for you? Like, how close of an eye are you going to keep on how this team is sort of fitting into what he wants to do?
I mean, obviously, it's one of the key storylines, you know, and it's not just how will they fit, it's how does that work, you know? And so the problem is that, you know, we know his system offensively was going to be, you know, it felt like based around, you know, Ja and Zach Edey and Edey setting screens, and that's obviously not going to happen because Edey's not going to be there. And so you're going to have to look at that system, and it's going to be, you know, Lansdale instead of Edey. And that, you know, so you're going to be squinting and saying, huh, I wonder what this looks like when they have the players that they want to run it. We don't even know that Jaren will be playing in the, you know, at the outset. So we're going to be making judgments about Isolo and his systems. And we could be making those judgments, you know, not only without Edey, but, you know, possibly without Jaren at the outset. So I think there will be a great sense, you know, a great desire to rush in and pronounce verdicts about Isolo and his system early. And that may be a little misplaced. But given that there's some skepticism about the hire anyway, and then you always do want to make judgments about new coaches and their systems, I think there will be a real eagerness to pronounce it either a success or a failure early, and that may or may not, you know, that may or may not be fair. The other part of it that I think will be really interesting to see is, you know, people were sick of the Taylor Jenkins minutes distribution that we saw last year. It was one of the reasons that people were happy. But that is the part of the Jenkins system last year that Isolo cosigns, evidently.
Right.
And so I think the player deployment, is he going to go, you know, how deep is he going to go? What kind of minutes are his best players going to play? All of that. He said when asked about it that he fundamentally does believe in that. But he also said, listen, if it doesn't work out, that because the best players are playing fewer minutes, that they're not more effective in the minutes they play, then you have to reevaluate. So I'll be really interested to see how that plays out, because that was not a popular aspect of the Taylor Jenkins regime at the end.
And I can tell you off the top of the season, we'll see what Cedric Howard what his availability is going to look like. Obviously, Zach Edey is going to be out. We're going to have to watch Jaren Jackson Jr. I will say, off the top of the season, I don't think they have enough depth to deploy as many players as Taylor Jenkins was in the early going last year. They have too many injuries.
Well, they certainly don't have enough bigs. They don't have enough bigs, right? I mean, I don't know that they're thin on the perimeter particularly. It'll be interesting to see how that sorts out. What's going to happen with Vince Williams? Is Gigi going to be involved in the rotation? You've obviously added some new players there, and Jerome and Coward. And so how is – I think the perimeter, seeing how all of that plays out will be interesting. With the bigs, there's not many options. You know, he has what he has. If Jaren's healthy for the opener, you could theoretically go with Jaren and Santi, but it seems pretty likely that they'll go with Jaren and Lansdale. Like that will be it. And then you'll have Brandon Clark playing limited minutes if he's healthy. And then, you know, there's just not a lot of depth up front amongst the bigs without Edey. And then when you figure that they probably don't want to be playing Jaren heavy minutes as he comes back from his injury, they never want to be playing Brandon Clark heavy minutes. And so, yeah, there's not a lot of flexibility there.
Yep. Now, insane transition, but I have to get to the NFL really quick. And really, it's a local interest story because of who this guy is. He's getting his first start, Jackson Dart, out of Ole Miss. Picked by the Giants, I think 25th overall. And for your show, there's interest in it because Jeffrey, big Giants fan. And I saw him tweet this out. He said, most excited he's been to watch a Giants game since basically Eli was there. Now, I'm curious your thoughts on turning to Jackson Dart right now. Like, I have my reservations. I don't think it's the wrong decision necessarily, but I have my reservations. Week one, Chargers, and then five of the next six games, two against the Eagles, one against the Chargers, one against the 49ers, and then there's somebody else in there. I don't know if George can throw that my way. But there's somebody else in there that's a damn good football team. The only reprieve he will have is against the Saints, but even they have some decent
Broncos.
But even the Saints have some decent veteran pieces on the defensive side of the ball. So, like, what's your thought on Jackson Dart immediately being sort of thrust into action four games into the season?
I think at some point it just becomes a matter of credibility. You know, I don't think Russ had any credibility any longer when he's throwing a ball off the goalpost, you know, at
that four play stretch in the tight red zone against the Chiefs.
Yeah. So
it's like, it's over, retire, please. I don't need to see this again.
And it's funny because Jeffrey's point all along has been they shouldn't have brought in Russ. They should have had Jameis Winston is sort of a fun backup who's going to fling it all over the place, right? And he's going to be Jameis and say Jameis things, and he's going to be very clearly a seat, you know, keeping the seat warm. And then you're going to have Jackson Dart coming in whenever you think he's ready. The Russell Wilson thing was just weird, you know. And he looked good against the Cowboys because everybody does. You know, Caleb Williams does. Everyone looks good. Like, that's your pick.
I have a stat.
But otherwise, he's been atrocious. And so I don't think they have the luxury of saying this is the perfect time to deploy Jackson Dart. A, for their own job security, for the interest and probably in credibility in the locker room. I just think you had to do it when you had to do it. And so will it go badly? Probably at different times. It didn't go particularly well for Eli when he first started. Josh Allen was a wreck when he first started. I mean, it was fun, but it wasn't, you know. I just don't think they had the luxury to pick their spots. I think that it got so bad so fast that you're sort of boxed in. It was weird the way they announced it, though. Like,
sure.
Dable didn't even, you know, he has this press conference and he doesn't even really bring it up at the beginning of the press conference. And what, like, who knows? But this is sort of, it feels like the last card they have to play. And do I think it's going to ruin him? No. I don't think it's going to ruin him to play early, but I've never really believed the whole – I think quarterbacks tend to be what they're going to be. What's around them matters, and how far they are in their progression matters. Sometimes it's going to take some years to get to be what they're going to be. But I don't think, the Chargers' defense is going to cause PTSD such that, Dart is never going to be the player he's going to should be,
But listen, I'm a St. Louis Rams fan, okay? I watched Sam Bradford have a lot of promise, sit behind a terrible offensive line and get cracked a million times. He got broken and his spirit got broken. Mark Bolger before him was the same way.
He was physically broken as well.
Yes,
I mean, and then David Carr is the absolute, the exhibit A in this, right? He should have been something other than what he was, but he was behind a hideous offensive line. Maybe Caleb Williams is another example of this, right? Like Caleb Williams, what he went through last year.
Thank God he got to play that Cowboys defense though last week.
maybe C.J. Stroud, the last 2 years.
Right.
But I just didn't see what choice the Giants had, honestly. Yeah. So it didn't surprise me that they went with him.
I think deeper than the will he be his confidence be broken conversation, I think I'm more worried about Daboll and Shane, the GM, getting fired and having a whole new staff come in who doesn't have the tie to Jackson. Like, that's the biggest issue I have. If it doesn't go well and they don't retain those guys, that doesn't turn out well for a lot of young quarterbacks. And by the way, real quick, since you brought up the Cowboys, and I'll let you get your thought off, the Cowboys, I heard this from Mina Kimes this morning, but the Cowboys are allowing opposing quarterbacks to have a QBR of 80. For reference, Lamar Jackson's QBR is 77, and Josh Allen's is 78, and they lead the NFL right now. just had to throw that out there.
They don't miss Mike at all. Yeah, it's just crazy. The good news here is that that's not ideal, right? For the team for the people that drafted you, to move on and have a new group, et cetera. The thing that I do think might give you, we've seen so many quarterbacks now, Daniel Jones, the latest, who ultimately find their way.
Sure.
This is a whole new trend in the league. Sure, if it doesn't work the first time, people are totally willing to give people, another chance with another minute, at another team. We're going to see Sam Darnold tonight, who's playing pretty well. I wasn't completely convinced that was going to work, but he's completing better than 70% of his passes in Seattle. And so, so I don't know. I think Jackson Dart will be whatever he's supposed to be. That is my conviction about Jackson Dart.
I hear you. Well, I'll let you roll. Appreciate it, Jeff.
See ya. Bye, Gabe.
He is Jeff Calkins at Jeff_Calkins on X. Daily Memphian columnist, also host of the Jeff Calkins Show, 9 to 11 right here on 92.9 FM ESPN. So I saw this news today, completely off the beaten path, complete sidebar. Up at Adams. Kay Adams had her show today, and she had former NFL MVP Sean Alexander, former Alabama. Was he a Heisman? Yeah, I believe he might have been. Check that for me. I don't want to get that wrong. I believe. Was he a Heisman?
Please hold. I am checking.
Great radio right here.
I am checking.
Awesome radio.
Oh, no one else.
Good job,
No one else is going to get that reference.
Good job, Gabe.
He
was not.
No.
Okay, but he was really good.
And then
in the National Football League won an NFL MVP, but he joined Kay Adams today. And he's well into his late 40s, approaching his 50s. And he announced today that he and his wife, Valerie, who have been together the whole time, he's having his 14th child. I'd imagine it's kind of tough to have Sean Alexander's children, too. It's a big man. That's a big dude.
14.
14.
Doesn't Antonio Cromartie have, like...
Well, yeah, but that's, like, different mothers and all that.
Yeah, but,
it's like
eight.
It's like nine with eight mothers or whatever it is. You can probably look it up. But 14? Damn. And Sean Alexander's not young. Like these dudes out here.
Also, Antonio Cromartie has 14.
Like, I know Sean Alexander pales in comparison to the guys I'm about to bring up. right? He's 48, but like Al Pacino is having a kid. Robert De Niro.
I forgot about having a kid. Too.
Did it used to be this way? Have guys always just been able to their whole life, just kid whenever, as long as they decide to?
I guess.
I mean, 14. Give that woman a year off, brother. Good God.
I was about to say, you've got one. You know.
I know.
Imagine whatever is going on times 14.
No.
Maybe. I think it's not at the same time, obviously, but still.
14. Jeez. My gosh. Did she know she was signing up for that?
I highly doubt it. Highly doubt it.
God. All right, now let's get to a trip around the National Football League next, right here on the Gabe Kuhn Show, 92.9 FM ESPN. Back in on the Gabe Kuhn Show, 92.9 FM ESPN. It's time to take a trip around the National Football League. George, hit it. All right, the 49ers have skill position issues. Brock Purdy's been injured. George Kittle's out for an extended period of time. Ricky Pearsall and Juwan Jennings, the guys in that wide receiver room, they're trying to hold it up, even though they're not the number one option. They've not practiced this week. And John Lynch was asked, with all of this going on, wide receiver Brandon Ayuk, who you gave the big payday to last year, he had the ACL injury, I think, in week 9 last year. They were asked, or he was asked, how close is he to returning? And he said he's not close to returning from the knee injury he suffered almost a year ago.
Oh.
There was more damage, apparently, than just to the ACL. So the recovery time is longer than we even expected, because it's not just an ACL. I would imagine there's another ligament.
MCL, PCL.
And now, I think my question would be, if it's not just the ACL and it was more than that, like, what's he actually going to look like when he comes back? An ACL, generally, you can come back fine. But if it's ACL, MCL, PCL,
if it's the whole knee shredded,
guys, that chance for re-injury, extremely high, one. And two, is he going to have the same ability to cut and run routes?
Since my thing is, that's his main skill.
That's his thing.
Skill. He's a great, crisp route runner.
Creates space.
You know where you create a lot of that?
Getting down
in your lower
cutting
body,
and using your
and
knees.
Ankles.
Yes. That's not a good thing to hear if you're a 49ers fan. Now, Ricky Pearsall has actually been really good so far this year, but he's even on the shelf right now. He hasn't practiced this week. Neither is Juwan Jennings, who caught for 900 yards last year. Like, the 49ers are sitting there at 3-0, and I do my power rankings every single week. And I am, like, based on what I – and Joey Bosa tore his ACL. I have been close to saying, okay, 49ers, even though they have all these injuries – maybe I need to give them the benefit of the doubt. They've won some good games. They've looked solid through three games, even with Mac Jones as a backup being thrust into action. But I can't put them reasonably in my power rankings for the top five because, brother, you're too injured, and it's not getting better.
No,
it gets worse.
It's just getting worse. And the thing is, for this to, like, this go around, we can actually be really concerned about Pearsall's injury. It's not like last year, not like what he missed time for already. This is an actual football-related injury.
It is.
And Juwan Jennings, like, okay, he was their only target with Ayuk out.
It's insanity. They have been so injured in the Kyle Shanahan era. Like, I brought it up yesterday. This is 2023 Grizzlies-level stuff going on with the 49ers. Just most injured team in the history of ever.
I was going to say, it's that, but it's year after year after year, it feels like.
No doubt. Justin Fields, good news for you, I guess, to a certain extent. He's in concussion protocol, but he did practice today, Aaron Glenn did announce. I have two questions for you as a Jets fan. What have you thought of Justin Fields?
Okay.
We'll start there. Go ahead.
The thing is, I don't even want to say, but the big issue for him throughout his career is exactly what is kind of showing its head right now. It's the lack of consistency, because there's game-to-game basis.
Looked
one
great
game,
in
he
the
looks,
Steelers
he
game.
He looked really good in that game.
Game two, horrid.
And I'm not exactly sure why, and that's kind of the problem, because there's a couple different reasons it could be. Could it be him? Absolutely. Could it be the fact that the Jets only have one good wide receiver?
Sure.
Also, yes. Could it be the young and inexperienced offensive line, which looked really good against Pittsburgh, has looked real bad the rest of the time?
I also think Tanner Engstrand, correct me if I'm wrong.
First-time play caller.
I think you've seen with him, like, that week one game, a lot of runway up to that one. Really good game plan against the Steelers defense, which is very good.
Yeah.
And then game two, less time to prep for that one. Just didn't really have it. Play calling wasn't great. Justin Fields wasn't great. Mistakes were made. I think you're going to have to – you just have an inexperienced staff in general, which gets me to my second question.
Mm-hmm.
Aaron Glenn, the results haven't really been there. But I didn't expect them to be there necessarily.
Me neither.
I've been pleasantly surprised with Aaron Glenn and kind of decently happy with his outlook on what he needs from his team.
Yes.
At the very least. And he seems to show some emotion. The dancing on the sideline last week was fun. But have you enjoyed the Aaron Glenn sort of, at least the way he's posturing himself, the way he's leading that organization, as opposed to what they had with Robert Saleh and all the failed experiences they've had since Rex Ryan?
Weirdly enough, the two that I've experienced the most success with, and so far right now, the one that I expect a level of success with, currently being Aaron Glenn. I do think it's a step in the right direction, in a way, a breath of fresh air. It feels like he has actual runway. It isn't kind of just, and that could be, you know, his history with the organization, his history with ownership. It feels like they're going to give him the time and the resources to get it right. It isn't just, okay, you're here, you have good players on the roster, your clock starts now.
Yeah.
It feels like there's some actual runway.
Yeah.
And where it was interesting to me from this past weekend was the last coach I was excited for, I thought did a pretty decent enough job, was actually Todd Bowles, now the coach of the Buccaneers. I don't think he was that bad with the Jets. But again, what was he with the Jets? First-time head coach.
Yeah,
that was
his bad situation, too.
Very bad situation. That was Mike Maccagnan years as GM.
Oh, God. Oh, yeah.
Him and John Idzik before. Woo!
Oh, my gosh.
What
All
a
right.
storied history.
Let's get to Tom Brady. All right. The commish has come to Tom Brady's defense. You guys heard me yesterday. I'm not happy with the way they're trying to play this. You have Tom Brady with his job at Fox and his job as a minority owner for the Raiders, meeting with Chip Kelly three times a week to go over offensive game plans. It's a clear conflict of interest. I don't have to tell you why it is. It's very clear. He preps with other teams every single week so he can call the game of the week for Fox on Sunday. Whatever. Yesterday he says, I have a moral and ethical responsibility to the game, and I always try to flex it. Shut up. Quiet. Be quiet. You've never been morally or ethically in the right when it comes to the game of football, brother. I remember Spygate. I remember Deflategate, even though I don't hold that against you like that. I think it was a big farce for the most part, but it still was something that had to be adjudicated that you were a part of. PSIs were taken out of the footballs, and you were
If we have
you
to
were
get
the
to
one.
That point.
But also, the contract situation where very clear cap manipulation, where you put in your contract because you took pay cuts that the Patriots had to do health and wellness checks and give you checks to TB12 while you were playing for the Patriots. There's that. And then last week, to top it all off, you were paid millions of dollars to go sports wash to be a flag football player in freaking Saudi Arabia. I don't want to hear about moral and ethical high ground from you, Tom Brady. It may be weird to some people, but just pay attention to who he tells you he is on a consistent basis. Now, Roger Goodell has come to his defense, saying teams have the right to say whatever they want to. They don't have to disclose any information if they think it's a conflict of interest. Teams don't need to say anything. Sometimes they don't say anything to somebody who's not a minority owner. We get a lot of former players that are in broadcast meetings that are close to their former teams. I think our teams are pretty smart about saying I'm not sharing something with him. Then he asks this question, where's the conflict? He's not hanging around in the facilities. We don't allow that. Where's the conflict, Roger? Okay, it would be one thing if they said, it's not a big deal. We're taking this step and this step and this step to make sure this conflict of interest doesn't become a bigger deal. But they turn around and just play in our face. He's asking, where's the conflict? I'd say it's a conflict that you have a broadcaster who's covering the game of the week every week and talks to both teams about their game plan and what they want to do to the other team and who their best players are and who they want to use that week. Well, he's going back to the Raiders and meeting with Chip Kelly about offensive game plans and being a part of game plan meetings. Like, You can tell me that we're taking step A, step B, step C to make sure this doesn't become a bigger issue.
That'd be okay.
But for
like,
you to consistently act like there's no issue and we should be, you know, why are you even talking about it? Like, stop playing in our face. We're not that dumb. We're dumb. We're NFL football fans, we're stupid, okay? Every third down, we say big third down. Like, we're
big
dumb.
Big third down here.
We're dumb guys, okay? We're not that dumb. We see what's happening.
Here.
Just please stop playing in our face, and I'd feel a lot better about the situation. All right, Malik Nabers. Jackson Dart's going to start for the Giants. I have a nice trivia question for you after this. But Malik Nabers was asked about another switch at quarterback, and this is what he had to say. Yes! Injected in my veins. I need that for my number one wide receiver. You better have that answer. Don't try to be the guy that meets that with, you know, being soft, trying to be cuddly, trying to be, you know.
It's what's best for the team. It's
we're just trying to go 1-0 this week. Don't give me that. Give me exactly.
That's a quarterback answer.
Give me what Malik Nabers gave me right there. I want you to be that arrogant. I need that. I need it. It's what a wide receiver one is supposed to look like. Look at Malik Nabers. All right.
Trivia question. Time. Okay.
Malik Nabers is going to go into his 19th game. Jackson Dart will be his starter. Already a switch. It's 19th game.
Yep.
19th game. How many quarterbacks has Malik Nabers played with through 19 games?
Wow. Okay. Let me see if I can name a handful of these off. Go Russell ahead. Wilson.
Bam.
Check.
Put Jackson Dart in there.
Jackson Dart.
To.
Okay. Drew Locke.
Bam.
Tommy DeVito.
There you go.
Who else do they have?
Obvious one. There should be an obvious one there that you're missing.
What, Russell Wilson? Or I already said that one.
He's no longer on that team, but he did throw the ball to Malik Nabers to start the year last year. He was the starter.
I'm missing something. Until
he got hurt.
Literally.
Come on.
What?
Indiana Jones. Daniel Jones.
I was about to say, I don't even remember DJ on the team last year, if that tells you anything.
I don't even know the other one.
Tim Boyle?
Maybe.
I think Tim Boyle is in there.
But through 19 games, six quarterbacks.
I think the other one's Tim Boyle, I'm pretty
19
sure.
19 games, six
That's
quarterbacks.
Nasty.
And he's got 251 yards receiving in three games, and he caught for 1,200 last year.
Oh, he's a freak.
He's very good. It would be nice to see him with, like, a consistent starting quarterback, wouldn't it?
Well, I mean, Daboll did absolutely paint himself into a corner when he said that Dart's going to be the starter for the rest of the season.
We'll see.
We'll see.
We will see. You're opening him up with the Chargers. He may get absolutely killed in
Walloped.
That game. We'll see.
we'll
do it for a trip around the National Football League. Small talk is next.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
With Ring cameras, you can protect your home from anywhere. You're at baggage claim, and you get a motion alert. Check live view and see a guy looking in your car window. Luckily, you've got floodlight cam. So you press the siren button and let 105 decibels do the rest. Problem solved. Home protected. Bag on its way. With Ring, you can protect your home from anywhere. Learn more at ring.com.
Hi, I'm Nancy Cartwright. You may know me better as the voice of Bart Simpson.
On Simpsons Declassified, we're diving into the mysteries that keep the Simpsons forever young. Have you ever wondered how the Simpsons regularly predicts future events? Who better to ask than the show's creators, performers, and writers? The celebrity guests. Be sure to follow and listen to Simpsons Declassified wherever you get your podcasts.
And Small Talk is brought to you by Conway Services, reputable service available 7 days a week. All right, so Cam Newton has been all over Tua Tagovailoa on his podcast, and he's been reviewing film and criticizing Tua very heavily. And based on Tua's play, he deserves the criticism. That Miami Dolphins team is absolutely horrible, and Tua Tagovailoa is missing wide-open wide receivers left and right. Now, Tua was asked in his presser today about the criticism he's received from Cam Newton, and here's what he had to say. I want to see anybody on the streets come play quarterback. Cam is doing his thing, but I think it's easier to hold a clicker and talk about what someone else is doing wrong when you're not out there having to do the same. Okay, reminder, Tua. Cam Newton won an MVP and went to a Super Bowl. So let's leave Cam out of this. But I want to focus on that first line, as I'm sure you do too, George. I want to see anybody on the streets come play quarterback. We're now at the... With Tua, we are at the point where he has been so bad and can't take the criticism to where he's saying, I want to see you do it. You think it's so easy. How about you do it? Oh, God. That's what the money's for, Tua. That, buddy, you're the one that makes $53 million a year.
Tua's my age.
Tua, you make
Tua is my age, and he's already at this point in his career.
It's never been more over for Tua Tagovailoa. It's never been more over.
Cooked.
And honestly, it's probably a good thing with all the head injuries and everything that he's had in his career. That's not a joke. I'm being dead serious when I say that. But if we're at the point already, mid-20s, where he's saying, I want to see you do it.
You get up off
you
the couch.
You get up and do it. Oh, God, buddy, that's bad. That's a tough scene. It's a real tough scene.
That's a tough scene.
You had something?
Oh, no.
Oh, okay. You were pointing... I was just making sure.
No,
I didn't know.
Actually, that was my clicker.
You were reviewing film. You got the All 22 out.
All 22, yeah.
That NFL Plus subscription.
If Cam's allowed to do what I'm allowed to do.
By the way, I think I mentioned this last time you produced the show.
Yeah,
I am so sick of people with All 22. I don't think every fan needs All 22 in NFL Plus.
No,
because they don't know what they're watching.
There are some that are okay.
There are some that are
very good.
Nate Tice, I think, does a good job. Outside of him, haven't really seen him.
Yeah,
former players do a fine job.
Of course.
Outside of that,
bottom of the barrel.
Oh, God, it gets ugly. All right, now let's go ahead and grab a break on that note. When we come back, we'll open up hour number three with Ryan Silverfield, head coach at the University of Memphis.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
With Ring cameras, you can protect your home from anywhere. You're at baggage claim, and you get a motion alert. Check live view and see a guy looking in your car window. Luckily, you've got floodlight cam, so you press the siren button and let 105 decibels do the rest. Problem solved, home protected, bag on its way. With Ring, you can protect your home from anywhere. Learn more at ring.com.
Hi, I'm Nancy Cartwright. You may know me better as the voice of Bart Simpson.
On Simpsons Declassified, we're diving into the mysteries that keep the Simpsons forever young. Have you ever wondered how the Simpsons regularly predicts future events? Who better to ask than the show's creators, performers, and writers? The celebrity guests. Be sure to follow and listen to Simpsons Declassified wherever you get your podcasts.